change it.
You have two pen to have that. One shows these words, I think it's.
We lost it. There's TV.
Oh, this is gonna have to be.
That's video.
What am I doing? Is it wrong button again? I'm the most challenging dude in the world of football. There you go. Anyway, you find that slide on this hand there. That's the first one with words. Okay? I just put that in there so we could sing the song. We sang the other day at the beginning. And so we're gonna see it. Each slide that we hit will have what all you see, and then the chords. Okay, we'll get catching as we go. Okay, ready? Ancient words. The reason I picked this song is there's some words in there that really apply. Especially in, well, when you study the Bible anyway, you study the Old Testament and the things that you learn that appear to see at least are things that are running. And you learn from the bad examples of enemies, the good examples and the bad examples. So we'll say that Jacob is it. We're talking about today is a prime example of that. I never thought about good in any way, not even God. He wrestles with God, doesn't he? Finally. But he's had some things. He is having to be with God and hear God's word for change. That's what it is. Ancient words change us. The book of Genesis, the inspired word changes us. If you read it. Okay? So this is the word of this song, and we'll see if it doesn't apply exactly what it is. Hope I get the right key. Holy words, long preserved, for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart, for the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart, oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us spring, help us cope. In this world, wherever we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down in this age, come to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. The words to that word, words to that ancient word song is so applicable. That we tell you give the Bible, that's what we do. It reminds us of what the Bible means to us. It guides us home, doesn't it? It changes us if we read it. If we read it and heed it and do it, it changes. Right? You can read it. Like you read it all, right? And it won't be good. But you've got to take it into our hearts and listen to what God has to say. For example, out of the Old Testament today, I think Jacob is a very good example of that. Okay. Now, I apologize to you because I measured your handouts and got up this morning and said, wait a minute, this is not quite in the right order that I want to cover this. So yours may be a little different. Let's see if it is. Okay. Stop just 1 second. I'll put this number here to remind me. Look at the handout on Payton. Pay the Aram Palan, Mesopotamia. Read it at your own leisure. But basically, for our purposes, In fact, from so much material, there's no way I could cover it in here, but it's basically the same general place, okay? And what's the significance of that place and what we're studying right now? What's the significance? That's where he was supposed to be denied. Mm-hmm.
But that was where Jacob had his breakdown.
Yeah, a lot of things happened there.
Oh, a lot of things, that's what I'm saying. But yeah. There was so much happened there. Yeah. And you're right, I didn't realize they were all.
Okay, first of all, we normally, I think we kind of tended to say a lot. We're familiar with it from earlier things that we might know. But with either a district in the community called Pedro Hara, or that may be the bigger district. And if you read that, it says some things about sometimes it gets difficult to tell where a place is on the map if it's no longer there. And sometimes it moves to another place when you get back into those longer ago. All right. That's all it says. So read that at your leisure, please. Now, yes, I hope you see that slide. You see that slide? You probably can't read it on your handout there, but maybe you have it from a previous week. And it has all the places listed that Jacob traveled, if you will. I'm going to have to point right here. Number one. What's number one? Do you have your other handout? The handout that I gave you on the outline, it will tell you what number one is. Can you see it? Yep. Anybody tell me? What's that one? Number one? Bear means whale. Parallel Roy means something different. Okay. So this is the place right here, number one. And then the next place he goes to is number two. What's number two? Everybody finding it? It's on the other handout, or maybe hopefully you can make it out on the sheet I just gave you. I don't know if you can.
Oh.
They knew America in some way. So number two? Beersheba? Beersheba? Okay. Number three? Where? Number three?
Rehoboth.
Rehoboth. Okay. There's not much said about Rehoboth, but anyway, we put it in there. He did. There are some things on the event sheet. Do you have that picture? You know, the other one. The one I gave out last week. So if you look at the numbers of the paragraphs, they coincide with the numbers on that map, okay? So the first one was Berlaharoy. Berlaharoy. The next one is Gerar. The three is Rehoboth. Okay? So follow that. Okay? All right. Okay. All right. And okay, let's go back again, make sure we got it right. What was number one? Oh, and what's the number two?
Gerar.
Okay, now there's something happened in Gerar. They had to go south. This is Isaac who did this, so but Jacob was with him as a youngster. Okay, so he went south to a place at number three? Gerar? After Gerar, number three, what? Yeah, Rehoboth. Okay. Number four.
Bathsheba.
Bathsheba? I mean Sheba. Beersheba. Okay, Beersheba. What does bear mean?
Well.
Okay, Beersheba. Okay, number five. Bethel. That's a label pretty close to where you can see it. Number six.
Haran.
That's where we're calling Padan Haran. Padan. Some place in the Bible is called Padan. Padan Haran. And it's also called Mesopotamia, land between the river, okay? But it's the city itself is referred to as Padan Aram, or Haran, okay? So number six, number seven, where's seven, there it is, Mizpah. Okay, Mizpah, I labeled some of these, but there wasn't room to label all of them. Mizpah, okay, number eight, he went from Mizpah to... Mahanium. Yeah, not a lot happened there, but there's something happened. Okay, well, after you left, we went to number nine. What's number nine? Peniel. Okay, great. Number 10?
Sakoth.
Sucker. Okay, that is sucker. And that's my southern accent. I hear slightly sucker. Maybe it's not the right pronunciation. Okay, sucker. Okay, sucker. Then what? Number 10. Huh? Shechem. Okay, Shechem. Yeah, Shechem. Okay. What happened at Shechem? Just the way you look at it, that one. Give me a couple things happened at Shechem. Heard anything? Purchase of the ground, okay, and then there was something, there's a lot went on at Shechem there as far as those Jacob's sons, Manasseh, three of those people, who they tricked into having circumcision. You remember that story? They tricked them into having circumcision while they were sitting around. They came in, Jacob's comes in, his sons comes in and kills everyone. And Jacob is not happy about that. That's what we'll get back to. Okay. All right, and after that, what number are we on now? Number 12? Okay, what happened at Bethel again? Isn't it? What happened? Just give me one thing that happened there.
Jacob had his dream.
Jacob has his dream. Okay, this is the place where he wrestles the angel. No, this is the angel. This is up and down the staircase. All right. That's right. That's where he had the dream about the angels going up and down into heaven. To earth. It is. Yes, it is.
Yep.
Which one?
Israel.
That's right. You're right. Okay. And then number 13?
Bethlehem.
Okay, we're familiar with that one. Number 14? Hebron. That's where all of the patriarchs, not all of them, through history, but the ones we're talking about were buried there, and some of the wives were buried there. Number 13. Okay, number 14. Hebron. Okay, Hebron is right there, and, excuse me. I mean, 13. What did you say about 13? I got mixed up. Because here's where they were buried, Hebron.
Bethlehem.
Rachel. I just wanted to give you a feel for that. If any way you can remember that, tell me how you do it. all of these have a shape to them. Okay. This will go up that way, then it goes forward, okay, then it goes back up here. If you remember the shape, as you're reading the book of Genesis, it'll help you to see how they're moving around geographically while all this is going on. Okay. Next. Now a review of questions on Jacob. Now what we're going to do is I've got to quit talking and run through these slides here, because we're going to get all of this review of Jacob done, and next week we're going to spend the time just to overall look at Genesis review and some time for you to talk about. I didn't know that, right? I found something good, and this really was a blessing to me. What are we going to talk about? I promise 10 minutes, okay? Next week. And then we'll go into that. We're going to ask some of these questions here. Jacob study questions are called. Name in order. 17 primary places Jacob lived in and around the promised land of Canaan. Well, I didn't give you but 14, did I? 11 more than that. Okay, there's three more places that the Bible mentions. And this is the same order of what I was trying to point out. Behaloroi, Gerar, Rehoboth, all the way down to Hebron. The last one we looked at. And then when Joseph comes on the scene, Beersheba, Egypt, and Hebron. Because Jacob's still alive at that point, okay? He's overlapping into Joseph's time. That's another study. Joseph has a lot of material in it. We decided not to tackle that this time. Okay, next question. What was Jacob's dream at Bethel? There we go. The staircase to heaven. The stairway to heaven with angels. Traveling up and down. All right. Now, these are my answers. You got better answers, you can suggest them to me, okay? It says, before Jacob named the city of Bethel, what was it called?
Luz.
Luz. Okay. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But I do something. Okay, we need to stop just a second and read Genesis 28, verses 10 through 15. We need to volunteer. Read it. Genesis 28, 10 through 15.
Jacob's reading is Bethel, and I'm reading NIV.
You got the next one. That's okay, you can go ahead and write down. You the next one. Who was reading over here?
Oh, I said I'm reading.
Okay, you got another message. You're reading here. Go ahead. That's a lie on that chart. It says, here's a reader going down the line, and I said, all right, go ahead.
Jacob left Beersheba and set out for a plan. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Picking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending by it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring.
That covers the belief. Let's see what the answer is. Here's the promises that were made when you just read those. Okay. The promise to the land, the promised land that he was in, that it expands, if you look at other places in the Bible, it's not just around the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, the expansion of that. Land, he also promised many descendants, but he promised most importantly a seed to bless all the nations. And then he also promised that he would be with those are the four points. Okay. Next question. What did Jacob promise at Bethel?
Developing and take percent
of this. Yeah. He's coming around a little bit. Now, I'm telling you, his mom had a lot of influence on him. Maybe others, but he didn't wrestle with the Lord. Okay. And he does, so to his credit. What did he promise at Bethel? He promised devotion and 10% of his take home possession. All right. Complete devotion and 10% of his possession is what he actually said. Okay? Now, question. Did Jacob's devotion promise to God include conditions? Yes, it did. Yeah. If you do this kind of thing, Lord, if you'll do it, I'll be a good person's now.
But wasn't it God that said, if you do this, then I promise you? Wasn't that God's promise? If I remember correctly when I was reading it, he had to do what God wanted him to do, and then that was to do according to his will.
Yeah. Probably if is not something he ever said to God, though. If you do this, I'll do that. And it reminded me of Bert Reynolds' show that I saw one guy here on the ground, and he promising God everything. You know, you swim closer to shore, then he cut closer. He cut back on what he's promising. And when he's waiting up onto the land, he wasn't promising him God very much of anything.
No,
so
God was the one that initiated the promise.
It seems to include conditions of God's care. Lord, if you take care of me, Lord, if you give me good food, and if you give me clothing, and if you keep my family safe and me safe. Notice the word if is in there. Everybody with us? We going too fast, isn't it? Next, what did the name Jacob mean? Oh, it doesn't mean that. It means supplanter. What is a supplanter? One who undermines and changes things, I guess is what the pastor said. Supplanter makes things different. Mostly in a bad sort of way. The word has connotation of being bad. With the changes that you're trying to make. Okay? That's what he did. He changed things by taking, well, he tried, he attempted. And we argued about, discussed it before, about whether God was behind his and his mother's plan and scheme to get the birthright officially given to him, but he was a supplanter. Where did Jacob meet his future wife, Rachel?
Bethel.
Where? Haran, yeah, Haran, or Haran, if we'll call it that. Eden.
At the west, she was a shepherd.
That's what she said. Yeah, she was a shepherd. It's, you know.
She didn't have a beard.
She didn't have a beard. We can't use it nowadays. People misunderstand what we're saying. Okay, in the lands of the sons of the east is what that, I think, one of the places in the Bible says. Well, it says, I've got the New American Standard. I don't want you to say this. In the New American Standard, in the land of the sons of the east. What does that mean? That just means the people that live it, back up towards Haran. Or Padan Aram, the vicinity of Haran. All those things will be okay. We're not that specific. Now, next question. Explain the relations of Jacob and his future wife, Rachel. What kin is it?
They were cousins.
It boils down to cousins. I have a hard time with it. In the Arabic language, they've got different words for an aunt who's on the mother's side and an aunt who's on the father's side, and you have to say it completely different. I can never get that straight in the English. So how am I ever going to learn it in Arabic? Anyway. Bethuel was the brother of Rebekah. That's Jacob's mother. And Laban was Bethuel's son. Laban. This makes Laban's daughter Rachel his cousin, Jacob's cousin. No significance whatsoever, but you know that part of the world, the Aramaic language was very strong. And in Arabic, Laban means buttermilk. probably does not apply, but it actually means white, I think, if you look it up in the Hebrew Bible. White buttermilk or something like that. Right, I don't know his name. All right, how long did Jacob work for Laban to gain Rachel as his wife?
14 years.
He thought he was going for 7 years. Then. Yes, he is.
Right.
Yeah, the contract got changed. Contract got changed, and you know, had to do that 14 years in order to take it home. All right. Jacob. After Jacob was tricked into working an additional 7 years for Laban in order to marry Rachel, what did he do to increase and improve his portion of the flocks? You understand what that's going on there? I don't. Somehow or another, he was thinking that he was influencing the what he did in Jaluba, he got the strongest one that he didn't want to hear that made. That's for sure that works. The other thing about what we're looking at, maybe somebody has better insight than I do on that, but whether or not that was blessed by the Lord, but it'd be the here's what was blessed. The better herds, the more increase.
Yeah.
That was blessed by God, no doubt. But I don't know, peeling off the branches.
I mean, I don't know. That's just what it said.
But anyway, God was with him. That's what he That's what he did. He engaged in selective breeding. Is what I said.
I'm just wondering if I'm doing that.
Well, I think so. I think we do. I think we try to get the stronger bulls and the stronger. No. I don't know if anybody has tried that. That'd be interesting research, but will you research that? Maybe it works. You know, I'm not. It's just with my limited knowledge, I don't know how it would work. But.
Well, you can tell
him
the difference between the strong ones and the weaker ones. He knew the brand when the weaker ones came up.
Right.
So he automatically knew to start with which one was going to be strong and weak.
I think he was managing to be very wrong.
Yeah, oh, yes, he was.
Then he gave those scribbles in the back and said, yeah, that's what it is. In discussions with Rachel and Leah, that's in chapter 31, about their father. They caused Rachel and Leah, and except for all the trouble that they had about their children, one of them. They're about to flee. And he calls them in and he says, he explains to them about their father. Does Jacob indicate that the selective breeding, quote, just the plan was inspired by God? He does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, he does. He indicates that. Now, is that an inspired message for us? Or is the Bible just telling you that's what it says? That's my question, is maybe, there's some places where people say things, and people take it to be directions for us, when they're just saying what the bad people are, people who are confused say, you know, in the Bible. There's places all over, okay? So you can't just open up the Bible, you've got to look at context. And you see the old story of the guy said, I decided to study the Bible, and he opened it up in the first place, and he says, Judas went out and hanged himself. You heard the story, right? I turned to the wrong place, he pulled it over again, and he opened it again, he said, that that thou wilt do quickly. So you've got to look at the context, haven't you? You have to look at the context of your demeaning anything. So whether it was, and I can't say whether it was or not. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he was making a mistake, and maybe he was trying to get his advice on his side. That's maybe what he was doing. Okay, next question. What was Laban doing that distracted him from Jacob's escape?
He went shearing sheep.
He was shearing sheep, and it was quite a ways away. Right. Yeah, we'd say that's good. At least a day journey, maybe a 2 days. But anyway, he was all
over. 3 days
journey, that's what it was. 3 days journey away. And so, you know, I guess the internet wasn't working, or you know, Wi-Fi. He didn't have Facebook or something. He didn't know what was going on back there. Okay, and Jacob played it that way. So they escape and run as fast as they can from him. Jacob is still, I guess, smart enough or to know that his dad-in-law was going to begin with. But what happens, in fact, there's a question about that. What happens on the way with Laban? When he's all mad and angry, he's going up to catch Jacob. What happens? God tells him to leave. Don't you hurt hair on his head, right? So that kind of let the air out of his sails if he was going to do anything evil to him. So what was Laban doing? Okay, yeah, he was going to shear his sheep. Okay, next question. When was Laban informed of the escape of Jacob and his daughter? 3 days later. Well, actually, he was told on the third day. So, if you encompass that third day as one of the days, yeah, that's right. He said it was on the third day. So, 3 days later, yeah. That's right. Next question. Name Jacob's 13 children. Reuben, the 12 children of Israel are included in this, except for we're missing Joseph, right? Yeah, Reuben, Simeon, Judah. Okay, now here's Dinah. Because the incident happened with Dinah.
Joseph was in there, but it
shouldn't
have
raised
the name Joseph in the reading when I read it.
In the reading this chapter. The 12 tribes of Israel is something, I don't have community memory. I can name them all, but I'm taking all the people with them. If I'm so blessed, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Yeah. So, that's my next question. Just learn it for myself. Learn them in order. The age order. Who their moms were.
And I know who their mother was.
Who their moms were. Okay. What did Rachel steal from her father?
Idols.
Okay. Does this explain anything about Rachel? They also hurt my mom. You know, the idols were all over the place. And so there weren't a lot of folks at least doing what God had called them to do. She decided, I don't know why she stole them, probably for financial reasons. She was, I think, for a dowry or something, she got cheated out of a bed somewhere. But she's idols. And she hid them, right?
Right.
So not necessarily to worship, but to have something valuable to
be used. Maybe you're willing.
But doesn't that prove that her father didn't? Raised him with different idols. He wasn't just man of God who
was. Yeah, I don't know that he was very much a man of God.
Right.
If God talked to me,
if he had all those idols, then.
Why did you want an idol?
Right.
Why did you dream and you believe it was there?
So
his only motive may be the financial part. He might realize that it's because I was okay, but I can get $1,000.
That's why he never wanted to believe.
I was just aggressive. Yeah. He believed God was blessing Jacob. Okay. Next question. What did God tell Laban as he pursued Jacob? That was a question. Just ask this. Don't you hurt. Be careful that you do not speak to Jacob, either good or bad. If you can't speak good or bad, you better not strike him. Okay. Next question. What made Jacob angry with Laban? Now, he may have been angry with him before, but he displays his anger at this event. What do you want him to know? By the Lord's providence, or whatever, they didn't find him, but he was sitting there. He was just waiting with the woman, and so she hid it. Laban didn't find the idols that Rachel took from him, and he gets, Jacob displays anger now. About him chasing him. It's about time for Jacob to get angry. I would assume that she was guarded up.
Yep.
And she was approximately the same size person. And yet, he was supposed to be. Okay, let me move that one along.
Yep.
All right. One result by that first year, the first child. What does the word Gilead mean? I take too much time because this is something one of my fascinating. I'm fascinated with you. One thing I kept in mind is the words, the name of the place. They tell you a lot about it. So and in this case, it actually named what we know as a heap of stone. The word in the Hebrew, I believe. And I look it up both in Hebrew and Aramaic. It means key. I think that's in Hebrew. Okay. It was designated to be a reminder of the truce and agreement between Jacob and Laban at this location. I got real bad. What did Laban call the place of his agreement with Jacob? Nobody wants to tackle that one, I don't know. See, now, they probably didn't pronounce that J, they probably yeah, God. That's how I had it. Pile of testimony with it translated to. The Aramaic, or the name which Jacob, Laban gave to the pile of stones directed to. That's Laban talking, so he's probably going to be named in the Aramaic language. Directed as a memorial of the covenant between him and Jacob. Okay, next question. next reading. Who's reading one of the over here? Okay, Jim. That's Genesis 32, verses 1 through 20.
Thy servant Jacob says thus, I have sojourned with Laban, and
family service and women's service, and I have sent to town.org that I need five days to last time. And the message is returned to Jacob saying, who came to thy brother Esau, also he comes to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands. And said, if Esau comes to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which says unto me, return with all thy company to thy kindred, and I will deal with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed and I was killed, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And I say, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he looked there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand, a present for Esau his brother. 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 queens and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants. Every drove by himself and said to his servant, pass over before me and put his face betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when he saw my brother meet thee and asked thee, saying, whose art thou? And whose brother goes down, and who are he for thee? Then thou shalt say, they be the servant Jacob's. And it is a present sent unto my lord Esau. And behold, all he is behind us. And so commanded he the second and the third, and all that followed the grove, saying, on this manner shall you speak unto Esau, and define him. And say ye, moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me. And afterwards I will see his face, peradventure he will accept me.
Okay, did he accept him? Yeah, it was like, completely forget it, over again. Bring him, he was going to kill him. 14 years ago, he was going to kill him. Now, he's been prospering. I think he realizes this is part of God's plan. And also, Jacob calls up to him and said, I'm your servant. Did he? Mm-hmm. So, it all went well. He decided to, and this is what Jacob did to get ready for that. I think we need to stop, and I'm talking too much. So, please read for next week. 33, chapter 33 through 35. So that's 33, 34, 35. And we'll finish up all the questions on Jacob, and then we'll finish with Jacob. Then I promise we'll do the review, and then give you, because then you have time to talk. Okay, I want somebody to hit the switch that drops me through the floor if I thought that was going to be. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you.